What do you guys think of my new look?
No.
Wow. Come on, man. Come on. I'm trying to be cool. But if somebody already told me that, I'm already cool. So, I mean, you know. Yeah. So, welcome to East Lake Church Playa. So glad to see every single one of you here today. You guys are so awesome. You guys are amazing. Go ahead and tell your neighbor you're awesome. But like you mean it. Go ahead. You're awesome. With authority, you're awesome. Now go ahead and tell your neighbor your darkest secret. Ha ha, right? What do you guys think of about this series so far? Secrets. Is it scary? Huh? Is it a little bit awkward, maybe? Are you nervous that maybe some of your secrets will have to come out in order to live in freedom? Huh. They're going to have to come out. Nobody likes to talk about our secrets. That's why they're secrets, right? So last week, we introduced you to this bracelet. If you guys were here last week, everybody received one. If you didn't receive one, you have an opportunity to receive one after the service right there at the information table. So what are these bracelets? On the bracelet, it says L-O-W-O, which stands for Lights On, Windows Open. That's actually a core value for our East Lake Church network. And what that means is that we're going to be honest, that we're not going to hide, that we are going to be open about what we're going through and what is happening, that we're going to be honest, that we're not going to hide. So for those of you who are wearing them, what that means is that we're, hey, you know what? We're going to join you on this journey, you know, to live and with honesty, to move forward towards freedom. It doesn't mean that we got it all figured out, because we don't. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that, hey, you know what? I want to go on this journey with you guys towards freedom. Are you guys ready for another one of my secrets? Yeah? You guys like my stories?
Yeah.
No? Yes? Maybe?
Yes.
It's about my beard. No, I'm joking. So here he goes. You guys ready? You guys are gonna find out some stuff about me. You guys ready? Yeah. I'm not. Hey, I'm in church. I'm not lying. Okay. I'm not lying. I'm keeping it real. You guys ready?
Yeah.
You guys sure you guys want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Back in the day, when I was trying to be Tony Montana from the movie Scarface. You guys know that story? That movie? That guy was my idol back in the day. I was trying to be like him. I had posters of him. I think I was watching the movie every week or something, you know. Everybody that, you know, came over to my house, I put the movie on. Hey, watch this, you know. I had posters of him. I was really trying to be like him. He was my idol. So once upon a time when Pastor Fito was a drug dealer, it's a real story. My brother, Manny, which many of you already know, used to come visit me a lot. I wonder why, right? I was rolling in dough and had some nice quality drugs. So he used to come visit me all the time. And one of those times he came to visit me with no money. You know, he was expecting me to give him the free drugs, like some free drugs. I was like, come on, man. I'm trying to be like Tony Montana, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not going to give away my supply. You know, I was living by the rules that Tony Montana had. Hey, don't get high on your own supply and all that stuff, right? For those of you who watched the movie, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so I was trying to be like him, and I was like, I ain't going to give away my supply, even though you're my brother. You know what I'm saying? So I came up with this awesome, brilliant, amazing idea. And I said, hey, bro, won't you sell me your identity? Won't you sell me your ID? You know, in those days, we both had long hair, so we, you know, I could pull it off. And he agreed. Right? Big mistake. What was that again? Oh, man, right? Yes, it was a big, big, big mistake. So one day, you know, a team, you know, not just one, a team of detectives showed up at my house. It was a raid. I was like, cool, this is like Tony Montana, the movie, right? Really? You know, a whole team, they're like, yeah, we're going to get you. It's me against you and you against me. And, you know, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. And they all showed up, and like five detectives showed up. I guess they realized that I was really trying to be like Tony Montana. You know what I'm saying? So they raided my house. They're right there. I was sitting there handcuffed. And the phone rang. Back in the day when we had those answer machines, right? Hello, leave me a message, you know. And I'll call you back. She says, I can't. See ya. We don't want to be ya, right? We're trying to leave those cool messages, right? And what was crazy is that it was my brother calling. Nobody picked up the phone. The detectives were listening because they were doing an investigation, right? I was there handcuffed. And here goes my brother. Hey, bro, I'm around the corner. I'm coming over. And the detectives were like, cool, hey, cool. So he shows up. So why is that a big deal? They were doing an investigation because they found a storage with stolen industrial generators. There's jet skis. They found some industrial welders. They found a storage full of antiques. There was all kinds of stolen stuff in this storage. So why is this a big deal that my brother showed up? Because I opened the storage under his name. Yeah? So we both got arrested. So that's who you have as a pastor. Welcome to East Lake Church, Playas. I hope that by hearing that story, you guys feel, you know, hey, this is the right place for me. You know, we're a church of some jacked up people. Yeah. We are a bunch of people that don't have their life all together. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, I'm jacked up. Go ahead. But like you mean it, like you mean it. It's a big difference, right? It's a big difference when you say, hey, you're jacked up. I'm jacked up. No, I'm jacked up. It's like different, right? Let's be honest, right? We're a church. You know, it's perfect. We have to be honest. You know, we're a church. Do you know why we have secrets? Anybody know why we have secrets? You know why? Here's my idea. We're trying to control the perception that other people have about ourselves. We're trying to control the perception that other people have about ourselves. I don't tell you my stuff, you don't tell your stuff, because if I know your stuff and you know my stuff, you're going to have a different perception. Right? What are they going to think of me if I let them know that I did this and I did that, or I went through this and I went through that? What are they going to think of me? That's why we have secrets. But the problem is, once we start trying to control people's perception, the secrets begin to control us. So here's a big idea. Grab your pens. Here we go. We don't control our secrets. Our secrets control us. So what we're going to do as we start this message, I'm going to invite some of you to come up on stage to share your deepest secret. April Fools. Woo, got you again. We're going to talk about David. We're going to focus on David because we don't want to focus on you guys, on your secrets. We're going to focus on David's secret, right? Right? Don't focus on me. Let's focus on David. So we talked about him last week. I want to encourage you, if you have time, which I hope you do, to read this story. It's an amazing story. It's an awesome story. I love these stories because they're swords. I mean, like, I think back in my old life, I used to be a warrior or something because I love these stories, right? The horses and the knights and all that stuff. I love that. I love the Game of Thrones. I love the movie 300. I love all that. But this story is better than that. It's better. So I want to encourage you to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12. So here's the story if you were not here last week. Chapter 11, David was walking around his palace. He was checking out on the roof of his palace. He was checking out his kingdom. Hey, this is cool. Look at what I got going on here, right? And the Bible says that as he looked over, he saw a beautiful woman bathing. Fetal translation, he saw a hot chick bathing. Right? Fetal translation. Her name was Bathsheba, and the problem wasn't that he, you know, checked her out once, right? That wasn't the problem. The problem was that he looked again and again and again and again. And that's when we get in trouble. Right, ladies?
Yep.
Oh, this goes to you too. Sorry. Yeah? For both of us, right? Men and women. That's when we get in trouble. When you allow, you know, what you just saw to like, that's when we get in trouble. So as a king, he was used to getting anything he wanted. He sent for her. Hey, why don't you bring her? Hey, homie, go get me this girl. Yeah, I want to know what her sign is, right? The Bible says is that they got it going on. They got it. They did the coochie-coochie, right? You know, he put some Marvin Gaye, and it's like, hey, let's get it on, the fetal translation. So they did the coochie-coochie. He knew that she was married to a soldier named Uriah that at the time was at war for his king. And he was thinking, like, hey, nobody's here. Nobody's going to find out. Hey, you know, this could be mine and your little secret. Yeah, let's go to El Valle. You know what I'm saying? Let's go hang out. Right? Nobody's ever going to find out until she sent him a message or a text saying, I'm pregnant. So he started to freak out. Like, how am I going to cover this thing up? How am I going to cover this up? So what he does, he's like, start thinking of ways he's going to cover this. And he's like, he sends word to his general. He say, hey, send Uriah back. I want to talk to him. So Uriah gets there, and David was like, hey, what's up, homeboy? You know, you got it going on. You're doing some amazing stuff over in the battlefield. And you know what? You're cool. You're awesome. I'm going to give you some time for you to go and hang out with your wife. You know? He was trying to cover his sin up, right? Go hang out with your wife. Go have dinner. Take her to Sinopolis. You know? Get a bottle of wine. You know? You know what I'm saying? He was trying to, he was trying to get him to, you know?
Yes.
The next morning, he was like, hey, you know what? I'm so awesome. I covered this. I'm going to get this guy to go and sleep with his wife that way. You know, she's pregnant, and he can say that it's his baby, right? He was trying to cover all this up. But what happened is that one of his messengers came back to David and said, hey, Uriah didn't go home. He slept in the porch of the palace, right? And this guy was such a great soldier that he wasn't going to enjoy his wife while his fellow soldiers were at war. So that didn't work. So here's David again. How am I going to do it? And he calls for Uriah. Hey, Uriah, come over. Okay, let's hang out. Let's have some micheladas, right? Let's order some chicken wings and get some screwdrivers or whatever they're drinking back then. You know, let's party. Let's hang out. Let's have some cigars and you know what I'm saying? He's trying to get him drunk. He was trying to get him drunk so that Uriah would lose some of his discipline. And then he would go and sleep with his wife. That didn't work either. So here's David again. Hey, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What I got to do to cover this sin up? Right? So what he does, he sends Uriah back with a note that said, dear general, when Uriah gets back, put them on the very front of the battle. And once it gets as fierce as, pull the soldiers back, but don't let Uriah know. David was setting him up to fail. David wanted him dead. And he died. And you might be thinking, I'm glad that's not my story. I'm so glad that that's not my story. But even though this story happened 3,000 years ago, I think we're like David in this story more than we realize. Why? Because there are some patterns that we find in this story that we do every single day in our lives. These are the patterns of hiding secrets that all of us do. And why I say that all of us do is because we all have secrets. All of us. And here's one of the patterns. Here's the first one. Manipulating. David took all the pieces, right? He's making the moves like a chess game. David's whole intention is to checkmate. I win by manipulation. I think we're all guilty of trying to manipulate to try to cover our secrets. If you have a secret, which I know everybody does, this is one of our patterns. Manipulation. Here's the next one. Bullying. What is bullying? Bullying is when you use your power and your position to get something out of somebody. David uses power and position to do, not to do something better, but to get something he wanted. You know, sometimes when people are getting close to our secret, hey, he's about to find out, you know, we freak out and we get angry. And we raise our voices and stuff. Like, yeah, well, you're crazy. You're loca. You're what are you doing? Are you on drugs and all that stuff, right? I mean, we're good at that, us guys, right? What? You're crazy. Man. And what happens, women start to believe that they're crazy. Yeah? So we get angry. We raise our voice to try to cover our stuff. And we do that at work. We do that with our family. We do that with our spouse. And our kids are great at that. Ah, I want the candy. Ah, okay, here. You just got bullied. You just got bullied. Here's the next one. Justifying. When David found out that Uriah was killed, he was responsible for that. He planned that. He was the one that manipulated. He was the one that bullied. But rather than taking responsibility, he's like, hey, he signed up for that. This is war. This is what happens in war. He justified the sin. The problem with these secrets, here's your next villain. We hide them from others, but they're always with us. What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. It could be a sinful secret. It could be a shameful secret. That's when somebody did something to you. We try to hide them. But they're still with us. They're in our hearts. They're in our mind. We remember them. And we don't realize how trapped we are until we experience freedom. And freedom comes when we live. Lights on, windows open. Here's the second one. Secrets end up controlling us more than we control them. We have these patterns of secrets, manipulating, bullying, justifying, and we don't realize how much they're controlling us. And we think, hey, I'll never tell anyone. I'm taking this secret to the grave, right? How many of you saying that as we speak? Be honest, we're in church, come on. I'm taking that to the grave, right? I can't tell you what I did. So we start to look for ways to cope with our secrets. Instead of trying to overcome them, we're not realizing that we're not taking that secret to the grave. The secret is taking us to the grave. The way people cope with secrets, here's your fill-in. We numb ourselves to the pain of secrets. Sometimes we over-medicate. Sometimes we overwork. Sometimes we over-drink. We party. We live in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll mentality or lifestyle. And we start to think, if I just do a little more, you know, like the song from Guns N' Roses, I used to do a little, but a little, when I do this, a little got more and more. You guys remember that? That was in the 90s. I know some of you were not born in the 90s, right? That was a popular Guns N' Roses song. So we do more. We go out, we party, we drink, we do drugs to try to cover our secrets. So we won't remember our secrets. Here's the next one. We use religion to cover up our secrets. What? Somehow in our minds, we have this idea that if I do enough good, if I go to church, if I pray, if I read the Bible more, somehow we think that God is going to be pleased with me and my secret will be forgotten. If I do enough good, it'll minimize my secret. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm good, God, right? Even though I got the secret and I still got going, you know, doing all this stuff. But if I do, you know, read the Bible and do this and do that and do that, hey, then the secret's over here. It's all good. We're good, right? I'm doing all this, God. We're good, right? I can keep my secret because I'm doing all this, right? But God, but I went to church today. You use religion. Here's the next one. We strive for perfectionism. Constantly striving to be better. Striving to be better to take the focus off my brokenness. You know what happens with perfectionism in our lives? Exhaustion. Because the brokenness is there, the sin is there, the secret is there, but I'm always trying to be better at this, to be better at that, better, 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 so I won't think of the brokenness. Here's the next one. We pretend that our secret doesn't affect others. David's secret ended up causing the death of Uriah. Sometimes we play the comparison game. Hey, I didn't kill anybody. Hey, compared to that, my secret is nothing. You know, pocket change, you know. I didn't kill anyone. So we cope with comparing because it's not as bad as David's secret. We may not be guilty of killing, but we're guilty of killing the spirits of the people around us. How? Because when you're around someone that has a secret, that person is not living to the fullest. When you're living around someone that has a secret, that person is not living to the fullest. And when that person is not living to the fullest, the people around them are not getting the full benefit. The way you live affects the people around you. We have a sign out here that says no perfect people allowed. But there's a next line. God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to stay there. The way you live affects the people around you. So if you have secrets and you're carrying all these things, your kids, your spouse, they're not getting the full benefit. Your kids are not getting the full benefit. Your spouse is not getting the full benefit. So what's the solution? Yeah, we all have secrets. Yeah, now what? Here's the next villain. Embrace transparency as a way of life. Transparency is opposite to secrets. Look at what it says in 1 John 1, 5 through 7. It's on the screen, should be on your outline. It says this. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. As the sacrifice blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. You know what he's saying? Lights on, windows open. He's saying, don't live a life where you're going to have to hide. Something I want everyone, or if you're here visiting us, you're like, hey, I'm going to check out East Lake Church to see what they're all about. Let me be upfront with you guys. This is what we strive for every single day. Here it is. Not to be everything is perfect kind of people. Like I said before, we're a church of jacked up people, and the leadership here are the worst ones. You know, and believe me, I deal with them every day. But what we don't hide. We talk about our stuff. We help each other move forward in our faith. Because our forgiveness and grace is all in Jesus. So we try to walk it out here with each other. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide. Here's the next one. Embrace transparency as a strength rather than a weakness. Let me say this again. This is an awesome story. Better than the Game of Thrones. Better than the movie 300. You know, next week we're going to be looking at what happened in this story. But let me give you a hint. David's secret comes out. This is like, if you like novelas, and I know that a lot of you like novelas, noveleros, like the soap opera, right? A lot of you guys, I know you, because you posted, hey, Luis Miguel, oh, what happened to Luis Miguel? Oh, Luis Miguel, gotta wait for next season. While David was going through this, this is what he said in the psalm. He said this, Psalm 32, 3 and 5, 3 to 5. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. Check this line out. My strength was zapped as in the heat of summer. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone and my guilt disappeared and my sin disappeared. when he stepped into the light, he realized that it was not making him weak. It was making him strong. Have you ever imagined yourself walking this life with no secrets? Just imagine that. It's freedom. That's freedom. So many of us are fearful that sharing our secret will be the kiss of death. If they only knew. If you only knew, Pastor. If you only knew what I did. If you only knew what was done to me. But the reality in sharing our secrets will be the birthplace of real life. The birthplace of freedom. Have you ever been in a place with your spouse and you're mad at your spouse for whatever reason, right? Sometimes we make up stuff, right? Not you, baby. I mean, we get frustrated, we get angry. Maybe the expectations are not being met. Maybe they're not doing something that you want them to do. Our secret stuff, and we were thinking about this stuff. And then they show up, and you're like pissed off, and like they don't even know why, and like creates a blah moment, right? Blah. You guys don't even want to, or you don't even want to spend time with them because you have all these thoughts, all these things that you're going through in your head. But what happens when you finally have that conversation? Freedom. Freedom. And that's what we want for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. Here's the next one. Embrace transparency selectively by confessing to a trusted friend. Let me explain confession. It's both vertical and horizontally. What does that mean? Vertical is when you come to God with your secrets. Last week we talked about, hey, first step is confess your secret to God. That's forgiveness. Vertically is for healing. Right? Horizontally, well, vertical, right? It's with Jesus. He'll cover it through the blood that was shed on the cross. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go and tell your, hey, let me tell you what I did. You put on Facebook and Facebook like, friends and family. I'm sorry that I ripped you off. You know, you're missing that money. I took it. No. Nothing like that. Find a trusted friend. Find a trusted friend. Hopefully it's your wife, you're married. I love my marriage. And you know why it's so amazing? Because we know everything about each other. We created a culture in our home, in our marriage, that we talk about our struggles. We understand each other of what each one of us goes through. And sometimes we think that it's only the guys that go through temptation. Women, let's keep it real. We've created an environment in our home where it's okay to talk about this stuff. Hey, babe, how was your day today? Is there anything you want to tell me? And it's not like, it's nothing like that. Nothing like that. She knows everything about me. I know everything about her. And even the new stuff that comes up, we talk about that. And that's what makes our marriage amazing. Once you live that, you don't want to go back to carrying all that stuff. I would like to invite the worship team to please come back up. In James 5:16, this is what it says. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you can live together whole and what?
Healed.
Let me say this. If you're thinking, Pastor, you have no idea what I did. Pastor, you have no idea what I've been through. It doesn't matter. But I killed somebody. I had an abortion. It doesn't matter. But you have no idea. Jesus does, and he says, I want to forgive you. Come.